If you have your Bible, we also would encourage you to take that out as well. We like to use that to kind of support what we learned here tonight and give you the opportunity to break it open and remember this week and go back and study what God would share with us tonight. If you've been with us lately, you know we've been studying Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, a powerful passage of Scripture where Jesus himself takes center stage on the side of a mountain to make clear to the Pharisees and the scribes the true meaning of the law God laid out in the Old Testament. You see, the Pharisees, they were more concerned with the letter of the law, the exact interpretation that they've put in, rather than the spirit, as we've been learning just a couple of weeks ago in Drew's message when he kicked off this and he talked about that. The Pharisees had reduced the law to just a huge list of do's and don'ts, a number of which that had no biblical basis whatsoever. But rather, they were the scribes' misapplication of God's laws. An example of this we talked about was their interpretation of God's law about us to observe and honor a day of rest. One of the rules, one of the exact laws that they got out of that was that there was to be no writing on the Sabbath day. No writing, none at all. And if a person were even to write two letters with a pen or with chalk, that would be a sin. They would have sinned against God. But if you wrote in the sand, or if you wrote with grape juice, that was okay. That was not a sin, because it wasn't permanent. That's strange. Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount to clear things up for the Pharisees and the scribes, to really let them know what God was trying to say. But you know what? He's also speaking to you and I today so we can learn. In the Sermon on the Mount, he explains what God intended from the start, the heart of the matter, as we've entitled this particular series that we're working in. And Jesus takes the law deeper, beyond actions, beyond the way we would respond with our outer behavior, to really getting us to think, a place of deeper understanding, the true essence of what God had intended in the Old Testament law. It was the complete spirit and purpose behind the law, so that you and I can do more than just commit. We can allow the Spirit to govern what we do, what we say, how we act, and our attitudes. Over the last 2 weeks, we've actually studied two of these already. We've gotten to the essence of two of God's laws. The first, 2 weeks ago, was murder. Jesus said it's not only just the external behavior of murder that's a sin, that's bad, that's against God's law. Jesus said it's also wrong to have unresolved anger towards someone else. And last week, we saw that Jesus taught it's not only against God's law, his design to cheat on our spouse. It's just entertaining the desire to have an affair with someone else or to feed our minds with impure thoughts. That's really against God's desire and his law for us as well. Well, tonight, we continue Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and that lands us, chapter 5, verse 33, where we're going to talk about oaths and the deeper meaning God intended for us to apply in our lives. So let's dive right in. If you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Otherwise, we'll have the verses up behind me. Let's see what it says. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. Oaths? Just what exactly is an oath? One way the dictionary defines an oath is as a solemn appeal to a deity or some revered person or thing to witness one's determination to speak the truth. You know, like to testify under oath. You're a witness or you're a defendant. And you guys have seen all the TV shows. You've seen the movie. A person comes up to the stand and this big burly bailiff guy walks up with a Bible and he hands it out and the person puts their hand on there and raises their right hand and the bailiff says, do you promise to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And the person says yes. Naturally, they always say yes, or I will, or I do. You see, the court system, they're concerned that people may lie. So they use this oath as a kind of reassurance that a person will tell the truth. Enacting severe penalties, we've heard of perjury, for anyone who lies under oath in the courtroom. So is that it? Is that the heart of the matter? Simply follow God's law. Don't break our oaths when we swear by God or some revered person or thing, like the oath in a court of law. As we've learned already in this study, the intent of God's law is far deeper. So let's read a bit more, picking up in verse 33 through 36. Jesus is speaking here again. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. In this passage, Jesus says, don't swear at all. Don't do it. Don't swear by heaven or by Jerusalem or by your own head. Now maybe you're thinking, but wait, doesn't this contrast God's law? Is Jesus now forbidding the taking of oaths? Absolutely not. In Matthew 26, 63 and 64, Jesus puts himself under oath. This is where Jesus is questioned by the high priest of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is an assembly of judges. Listen while I read the scripture for you. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have said so, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The Apostle Paul also placed himself under oath. And the basis of God's promise to you and I is secure because of his oath. Let's look at God's promise in Hebrews 6, 17 and 18. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. So there's nothing wrong with taking an oath when it's appropriate. So what more does Jesus want us to know about God's law? Let's read the final verse for tonight and reach the heart of the matter. Verse 37, again, this is Jesus speaking here. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. There we have it. To tell the truth when we're not under oath. Beyond the letter of the law, we're supposed to keep our word when we swear by an oath. God simply says our yes means yes. Yes should mean yes, and equally, of course, our no should mean no. As I was preparing, I came across a poem regarding oaths and words. Giving an oath matters because not all words are true. But if all your words are true, then giving an oath doesn't matter. We need to do what we say we're going to do when God referred to keeping our oaths. The deeper meaning, we need to keep our word. Our words should speak truth. We should be trustworthy. What we say should be true, and if we say we're going to do something, we should do it. Jesus was unfolding the deeper meaning because the Pharisees convinced themselves that as long as they were keeping the letter of the law, they were okay. For example, as long as they were not guilty of physical adultery, they were right with God. But in their hearts, they were filled with lust. And as long as they didn't really kill anyone, they were okay, but they could hate the person. Well, that's not right by God either. The lesson for tonight is about our words. The title of tonight's message, what's in a word? What's in a word like yes? A whole lot, I'd say. Jesus is telling us the words we speak are by default our oath, our promise, our yes, and our no. And that our words should not be cheap. Jesus is also telling us that our words shouldn't come easily or too quickly. Hearing what Jesus teaches us about the power of our words, I would like to share a few principles that you and I can apply in our lives to achieve the essence of the law of oaths, to reach the heart of the matter, which is for our words to be true, our yes to be yes. The first principle, and you can write this down right in your outline, is be careful what you say yes to. Be careful what you say yes to. Have you ever met a yes person? You know, a yes person is exactly what the name would indicate, right? They say yes to everything. Can you help me do that? Can you help me do this? Sure, I'll help you do that. And then they take that onto their responsibility. Will you take this job assignment for me today at work? Sure, I'll take that job assignment, no problem. Will you join this committee? Will you join that committee? Will you do this? Will you do that? Sure, no problem. Pretty soon, the person, they're juggling. They're out of control. They're trying to do a lot of things. Everything but God would have them do. They feel like a juggler in a circus, juggling their commitments, hoping that they won't drop any. We need to be careful what we say yes to. We need to be careful what we say yes to because sometimes when we can say yes when we should have said no. Maybe we're saying yes to a sin in our life. Maybe we're allowing that sin to continue and we should be saying no. Maybe we've said yes to an unhealthy relationship or being a part of a crowd that we really should be saying no to. And as you'll see from this video clip from Horton Hatches the Egg, this results in being taken advantage of, being convinced to do something that's someone else's responsibility.
Horton Hatches the Egg. Now, once in a jungle, or so the tale goes, there lived a strange bird that most everyone knows. Her name? It was Maisie. She was mean as could be, and never seemed happy while up in her tree. Sighed Maisie, this lazy bird hatching her egg.
I'm tired and I'm bored and I think to my legs from sitting, just sitting here day after day. It's work. How I hate it. I'd much rather play. If I could find someone, I'd fly away. Please.
Then Horton the elephant passed by her tree.
Hutsack Ross and Honorilla and a so on, so on, so forth. Hutsack Ross and Honorilla and a so on. I still can't get the word to that song. Hutsack Ross and Honorilla and a so on, so on, so forth. Hutsack Ross and Honorilla and a so on, so on. Hutsack Ross and Honorilla and a so on, so on, so forth.
Hello?
Called the lazy bird, smiling her best.
So on, so
on. You've nothing to do, and I do need a rest. Would you like to sit on the egg in my nest?
The elephant laughed.
Why, of all silly things, I haven't feathers, and I haven't wings. Me on your egg? Why, it doesn't make sense. Your egg is so small, ma'am, and I'm so immense.
I've got to get off for a rest, otherwise I'll never get rid of these bags beneath my eyes. I'll hurry right back, why I'll never be missed.
Very well. Since you insist, I'll stay and be faithful. I mean what I say.
Hello?
Sang out Maisie and fluttered away.
Pardon me.
Then carefully, tenderly, gently he crept up the trunk to the nest where the little egg slept. Then Horton the elephant smiled.
Now that.
And he sat. And he sat all that day, and he kept the egg warm. And he sat all that night through a terrible storm. It poured, it lightning, it thundered, it rumbled.
This isn't much fun,
the poor elephant grumbled.
I wish you'd come back, because I'm cold and I'm wet. I hope that Maisie Bird doesn't forget.
But Maisie by this time was far beyond reach, enjoying the sunshine way off in Palm Beach, and having such fun, such a wonderful rest.
I think I'll never go back to my nest. Daddy, I won't.
A fun, loving, caring elephant strolling through the jungle when he stumbles upon Maisie, a mother bird sitting on her egg. Maisie, tired of waiting for the egg to hatch, convinces Horton, an elephant, mind you, to sit on her delicate egg to take what she calls is a so-called rest. Horton, being the trusting one, agrees to watch her egg and give her some rest. While Maisie, on the other hand, is off on the beach, having a good old time with no intention of returning, Maisie had pushed her responsibility to hatch the egg onto Horton. Gang, we need to be careful what we say yes to. As you all know, Westbridge is run entirely on a volunteer basis. One of the philosophies we try to stick to is not to overwork our volunteers. So we have them on a rotating schedule, and each person is only expected to work every 4 weeks. That's how it works on our setup teams and our hospitality teams. And you'll hear the ministry leaders say to the new volunteers, just come and try it out. Just show up next time. Try it for a few times before you say yes and you commit. In this way, the leaders of those areas hope to get the volunteers and keep them passionate about serving on a team. This design works to keep them healthy in performing their service to God, careful not to take advantage of the help they receive. And in this way, it helps our volunteers take care to be careful what they say yes to. If you're looking for tips on how to know when to say yes and when to say no, that in itself is a whole nother message, which we really don't have a lot of time to go into tonight. So here's a few questions you might ask yourself. Will it make me a better person? Will this decision glorify God? Is it something I have the capabilities to do? Certainly a 5,000-pound elephant had no business agreeing to sit on a delicate bird egg. Another good resource is to go to our website, westbridgecommunitychurch.com, and download the series on boundaries, or pick up that book by Henry Cloud and John Townsend in your local bookstore. The first principle for tonight, be careful what you say yes to. Now, let's move on to the second principle for tonight, and that is follow through with your commitments. As Christians, God's expectation is much greater than what the Pharisees had understood. Jesus says, but I tell you, do not swear at all. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. We should not feel the need to swear by anything in order to guarantee the truth of our words. No need for us to support our actions with a statement like, you have my word. Or, if I'm not telling the truth, may lightning strike. Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Or the dreaded pinky swear. That's what Jesus' listeners were doing back then. They would swear by heaven. They would swear by their heads. They would swear by Jerusalem to convince others that at that moment, they were going to tell the truth. Jesus said this should not be. As followers of Christ, we of all people should mean what we say and say what we mean. If the truth can't be expected from us, then it can be expected from no one. Everything we do as sons and daughters of God is important. It's important because our motives and actions, that's how people see Jesus. We are representatives of Him on this earth. And it's key because we're being watched. And the impact we should have is one that glorifies God. About a year ago, my daughter turned 15, and I wanted to do something special for Lauren's birthday. But what do you get a teenage girl? Of course, they're going to ask for clothes, or they're going to ask for gift cards for money. No. I wanted to do something special, so I got a great idea. I am going to take her to a Broadway play. Not any play. I'm going to take her to the play of her choice. I even made a certificate and put it in her birthday card. Let's see that. There it is. I gave that to her in her birthday card. I said, Lauren, all we really have to do is agree a date, sit down, figure it out, we'll buy the tickets, and we'll go to that play. Well, things got busy, and a couple of days went by. They got busy at home, and a couple of weeks went by. I got really busy at work, and a couple of months went by. 7, 8 months, and we still hadn't bought those tickets yet. As I was studying 2 weeks ago for this lesson, our second principle, follow through on your commitments, clobbered me over the head. God was telling me, you know what, Robert? You really didn't follow through on that one, did you? No, I didn't. You're right. So last Saturday, as I was kind of finishing up preparing, I said to Lauren, can you come help me on the internet with something? I need your help. She's really good on computers. And she came in, didn't know what was going on, so I sat her down. And I reminded her what we were supposed to do for her birthday, the promise I had made. And last weekend, we bought tickets to go see The Little Mermaid on Broadway next month. Is there a commitment that you didn't follow through on? Suppose a Monday morning you're going out to work in a rush, and your child races to the door to catch you before you leave. Dad or Mom, when you get home tonight, can you show me how to ride a bicycle? You say, sure, honey, sure, as you rush out the door. When you got home that night, and I think parents, you know where I'm going with this. Did you follow through on that? Did you take advantage of that quality time? Husbands, are you making progress on the list of things you need to do around the house? Or are there still leaves in the gutter from the fall? It's never too late to follow through with your commitment. Maybe you borrowed money from a friend, or you have a debt you need to pay back and you haven't paid it. There's still time to make that right too. In tonight's passage, Jesus gives us a clear warning sign in verse 34. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. In tonight's drama, we'll see the disappointment and heartache when we follow through, when we don't follow through with our commitments. Why it's important to follow the principles, the first two that we've talked about, and that's be careful what you say yes to and follow through with your commitments.
Nick,
oh, Jamie.
I can't believe how in love we are.
Neither can I, Jamie. It's like we're destined to be together.
We were. We're like Romeo and Juliet, Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara, like Buffy and Angel.
We're better than that, Jamie, because we're real.
I love you.
Oh, ditto, Jamie. I promise I'll love you forever.
Forever and ever?
Always.
Oh, Nick.
Oh, no.
You haven't called me in days. I've been by your apartment and your work. Where have you been?
I'm sorry. I had a business trip last week and I met somebody.
You met? How could you? You promised you'd love me forever.
Look, I know I promised, but how was I supposed to know I'd get on an airplane and fall in love with Keira Knightley?
Unfortunately, this has happened to all of us. We fall into the traps of life, the traps that are presented to us, and we respond too quickly or too swiftly. Workers, is your word credible? Can your actions be counted on? Are you the person you sold yourself to be in the interview? Hardworking, dependable, trustworthy? Or like the man in the drama? Sure, we'll be there tomorrow, I promise. And the best side of you still hasn't shown up for work yet? Spouses, you've made a promise to your husband or to your wife in holy matrimony. Are you yielding to one another? Are you keeping your commitments to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and in health? Good times, and especially bad, till death do you part? Tonight's passage takes us to the heart of the matter. Does your yes mean yes? Does your no mean no? It warns us to be careful what we say yes to and reminds us to follow through with our commitments. So where do we go now? What would God have us do next? I believe the third and final principle God would have for us tonight would be go back and reposition your promises. Maybe you're here tonight and like me, there are some areas of your life where you need to go back and make things right. Have your yes be yes and deliver on your promise. Maybe you need to buy Broadway tickets to see The Little Mermaid. If that's the situation you find yourself in, regardless of how much time has passed, days, weeks, months, or even years since you made that promise, tonight you can go back and reposition it. You can make it right with God and the person who you promised. It's also conceivable that some people need to go back and change their response of yes to no, or response of no to yes. Maybe you're here tonight and your response to Jesus so far has been no. No, thank you. Well, tonight, you can reposition that to a yes. You can follow through with His plan for your life. Couples, are you fostering that godly marriage? If God's speaking to you, then I encourage you, join 40 people at 3:30 next Saturday in the room behind me. Yes, 40 people committed to fireproofing their marriage. Maybe you're saying to yourself, but how do I go back and reposition a promise? Or how do I go back and reposition one that was foolish? I mean, I gave my word. Don't I have to do what I said? Didn't God say you have to do it? Isn't that what you just taught me, Mr. Robert? Well, God's also aware that sometimes we make a few mistakes here and there. Sometimes we get ourselves in situations that aren't healthy. God's desire would be for us to come to Him, talk to Him, tell Him what's going on, and oh yeah, He already knows. But as our best friend, He still wants us to come and speak and talk with Him. He lies waiting to ask for us to ask Him for forgiveness. Our God waits with open arms to wipe the slate clean, forgive us no matter what the offense. And lastly, having repositioned our promise, we can lean on Him, His wisdom, His guidance, His strength to help us to follow through on that repositioned promise. So tonight, I offer you the same simple three-step plan for correcting any hasty or misguided promises. And those are, first, sit down and explain the situation with the person in which the promise was made. Tell them the circumstances that transpired. Secondly, acknowledge the mistakes that you've made. Ask them to forgive you for the promise you didn't go through on, or the fact that you've said yes to something or no to something and you need to change that. Ask for forgiveness from that person. And then finally, and this is very, very important, this time, definitely follow through. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, we thank You so much for Your words that speak truth to us tonight, Lord. Help us to just be careful and wise as to what we say yes to. Lord, help each of us to follow through on those commitments. Help us to treat those with priority. And Lord, where we have said yes to the things we should have said no, or the opposite direction around, Lord, give us the courage to go back and reposition that promise. We ask you for the strength this week. Through the weekdays, bring us back safe next Saturday night. It's in your name and glory we ask. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Bring a friend next week, and as always, we'll have the coffee on. Thank you.